Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be having two great guests. Sherry Welch of Blue Skies Transformations will be speaking about the core energy coaching approach that centers around thoughts, emotions, and actions. And Sean Gagnon, he is a manager of employee benefit practice over at Tour Ferris Insurance Group. You know, Sean, I guess, welcome to the show, first of all.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You've been, we laugh, we kid, but, you know, we actually came from a small town together. We actually both know people in Sanford Springvale, Maine. So it's nice to have someone on the show that has a home feel to where I am.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're both graduates of Sanford High School, and love talking to someone from my fellow hometown.
Sure. So tell me how you got into benefits. Tell me what your background is a little bit. Give me a couple seconds on that so we can understand what gives you the credibility to talk about this area.
Yeah, for sure. Well, like every kid, kind of dreamed about growing up going into the insurance industry. So never thought about a pro sports career or anything like that. Always selling insurance. All kidding aside, you know, it was a thing that led to me. I always knew I wanted to do something to help people and businesses. And after going through college, had an opportunity to interview at a few insurance firms, both on, I guess you'd call it, the wholesaler side, whether it be the Unum Providence of the world at the time and Standard Insurance. And then actually ended up going to work for a consulting firm down in Stamford, Connecticut. And it was just through a connection I had from Bowdoin College. So kind of that connection led me down to Connecticut and got in the business and really started out working with employee companies of all sizes, so, and still maintain kind of a niche working with groups of about 25 to 250 employees, and just like the ability to go in and meet a diverse group of companies.
No, that's great. And certainly, you know, the area we're talking about, audits and DOL, that's certainly an important area that companies need to be compliant in. And, you know, I guess I know, but for the audience's sake, I think it's important. Are all companies required to comply with all these audit things we're going to talk about today?
Most of the auditing we're going to discuss today, really the focus is on groups with over 100 employees. So, and the audit process for them is somewhat random. They can be selected for an audit anytime. Being selected doesn't predetermine that they're non-compliant or anything like that. They just basically start out the process, and that's when it becomes time, or prior to that, really having your ducks in a row to make sure everything is outlined so that audit process isn't a burden to the business. It becomes somewhat of a formality, and that's where we really help companies.
You know, I guess this question comes up quite a bit. Companies always ask us, and I'm sure you get asked, why would I be audited? What are some of the triggers? What are some of the things that I could do to either A, prevent it, or B, you know, why me?
Yeah, there's several things. I mean, and it can span from that random selection process. It could be from a participant complaint. You know, one of your employees complains about a potential ERISA violation. It could be some of the answers on the 5500 form. And it's just also the DOL's national enforcement is really expanding as they hire more auditors. Obviously, more companies are going to come out of the scope, and especially everything this year and in years prior with the ACA and some of the new regulations shining a spotlight on these employee benefit programs.
You know, ERISA, could you define that? Because, you know, people out there in the audience may not know exactly what that is.
So ERISA is the governing body. Almost, it's really what gives fiduciary responsibility to anyone who's got a stake in this plan. So it could be a service provider, someone within the plan. It's really just the governing body that the audit kind of protects the ERISA responsibility.
Okay. So, you know, when somebody is in this situation and they're getting ready to have an audit or they're preparing for it, what do you think is one of the key things that your organization or you yourself can help an organization get through this process or at least get ready for it?
Yeah, I think the main thing is really selecting someone in the company to be really the person taking charge of making sure things are compliant internally. Us as a consulting firm, we're going to set up things throughout the year to make sure things like your SPD wrap document, which basically outlines all your coverages, is in line. Things throughout the year, just as you would do for your business, whether it's your balance sheets or your books, to make sure everything throughout the year is in place so when you do get an audit, everything's set up there. So when the process starts out, typically what happens is you either get a letter through mail or email, and they're going to start requesting a lot of materials for 2 to 3 years. So it really becomes important to have all that prior plan information in place. And that's what we help companies from, not only having portals within our business to host a lot of these documents, but also helping the internal HR departments that might be focusing on any number of duties throughout the year to make sure they're in place there as well.
We're talking with Sean Gagnon, and we're talking about DOL audits having especially to do with employers over 100 employees, and talking about the DOL audit process here. Sean, what are some things that as you've gone into companies and organizations, you say to yourself, geez, if companies would just not make these mistakes, these things that just jump out at you and say, hey, these are things that easily people could fix, companies could fix, make it simple for themselves, but they don't.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's not that the company just sets out at the beginning of time to say, all right, how can we put ourselves in a process to get audited? Because the audit by nature is disruptive to the business, can take up to, you know, on average 18 months. So it's not something you're excited from an employee standpoint, whether you be in HR, whether you be a controller, a chief financial officer, whoever is really the designated person at this company. Simple things that we often find, there's not as much information as could be had, which is frustrating. And we operate in a world, in not unlike a lot of other brokers, full transparency. So just making sure that a 5500 form, and for the audience, if you don't know, a 5500 form basically outlines a lot of the plan details, has a lot of the fees that service providers are paid, a lot of really the nuts and bolts of the plan and who's servicing that plan. Just keeping that up to snuff is a starting point. There are some triggers that people can file if you're looking at in an HR department, say, oh, we might not be compliant and there's expectation of an audit coming. There is what's called a delinquent filer voluntary program. They can actually put in a form and correct some of these things without the audit. It saves fines and obviously a lot of time so the business doesn't become disrupted.
Are there fines that can be assigned to an organization who doesn't do this properly? What are some of the risks that an organization faces if they don't do these things properly? Because, as you know, money motivates in terms of, you know, making sure it's correct. People don't want the fines. They don't want the hassle. What are some of those risks?
Yeah, there are fines. If you're found to be incompliant, and typically what we do, we are really acting as kind of a helpful record keeper. So as your benefit consultant, we're keeping you on track throughout the year and really keeping documentation up to date and putting everything in a row for you so you have this neatly filed catalog of the kind of story you have to tell. We also a lot of times work with accounting firms and some ERISA attorneys to get them outside counsel to help prepare for the audit. Now, that outside counsel can then not audit your program. That is a conflict of interest. But if you go through the audit because you haven't taken some of those steps, there are fines that can be levied daily for being out of compliant. And then on top of that, for anyone that has this fiduciary responsibility within the plan, you can be levied up to a 20% civil penalty as well. So you do run the risk of some hefty fines on top of what I would imagine for a lot of companies is a big line item when you look at employee benefit costs today.
So a company can avoid really getting in trouble and really getting themselves in a situation in which they're going to have an 18 potential month audit, which that alone is enough to make anybody, you know, that should be enough, folks, to not want to make you do that. But then there also are fines that are attached to this. We mentioned a couple of things that they could simply do to make sure that they're not out of compliance. How big of a task is this? I mean, how big is it that can they set up a process so that they're in compliance every time, or is this something that they should check anyway? Or tell me a little bit about the process that goes into this.
Yeah, for us specifically, and without speaking for a lot of outside benefit brokers, I know how we handle the process, and I think this is a big differentiator for our firm. But Dave, I sent you a while back, and we'll send for any of the listeners who have an interest in this. We put together really a DOL audit guide in preparing for things just like this. So as part of that booklet, we try to outline what is the game plan for a potential audit and how to prepare for that. So in our mind, it really gets a company a leg up on the process. So a lot of the things we go over, and some of which we've addressed, is just a checklist of what are some plans needed. So we recommend, you know, having things like a plan document or an insurance booklet for the certificate of the insurance plan. We also provide an SPD wrap document that includes all the summary and material modifications of the plan. The 5500 is attached, and any supporting documentation. And we do also a summary of annual reports, a list of all service providers and related contracts. Things like this really help build out the process so a company, and again, a lot of the companies we deal with, and I would imagine companies in today's world, the HR department is not only looking at benefits, they're tasked with recruiting, they're tasked with benchmarking of how certain positions are performing, all kinds of these things. So their eyes aren't always completely focused on the DOL audit or the chance thereof, and hence why they would work with an outside provider like ourselves. So we've tried to really differentiate ourselves in the market and create this game plan for them.
No, that's great. I think that is a differentiator. I suspect that, you know, all brokers certainly have information that they provide, but you've really taken it a step further and really provided a document that somebody could actually take as a white paper, we might call it, and really go through and make it happen. And that is a differentiator because not all firms do that.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, we've really made a conscious effort. Kind of the mantra around here is being students of insurance. Our firm dates back to 1970, and I think a lot of the success and how we've grown is really being different to our customers in a positive way. So helping them with things like this and really trying to be a true extension of the HR department and not just a benefit broker that says year in and year out, okay, here are your benefit plans. The increase is X. Take it or leave it. I mean, we really get involved in the plan. This is one step for that. And obviously, this piece is somewhat special in the fact that if we don't do the job or help provide a company for this, there are these fines and different things that could be levied. So we do try to treat our customers' money as if it's our money.
Absolutely. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We are talking with Sean Gagnon, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional.
Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. Our sponsors for today's show, AARP, taking on issues that matter.
Northern Insurance Group, meeting your business, commercial, and personal insurance needs. And the law firm of Jackson Lewis. All we do is work. And we are talking with Sean Gagnon from Tour Ferris Insurance Group. He's the employee benefit practice manager over there. And we're talking about the HR benefit audit here that is really an important part of compliance for any organization. Again, Sean, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the time.
Well, you know, we've been talking about basically what the audit is and why the importance of it is and so forth. For the listeners today, when they're saying, well, hey, why should I have, Sean, why should I have this organization help me? What is a success story that you can tell me of taking it to an employer that is, you know, this is what we do, this is how we can help you? Work me through it. Take me through that story.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think a lot of the success, obviously, with our company, and when we sit down and talk to an employer with over 100 employees, it's a simple conversation that we really take the forefront and say, all right, you've gone through the process. You're, I would assume, aware of healthcare reform, some of the acts there. It's not a question of if, but when you're up for a potential audit. So how can we help you in that space? By and large, a lot of companies haven't really thought of it like that. They have some of these things. What we do, and I'll give you the example of really a light manufacturer, say with about 150 employees. I'll leave the name out, obviously, for reasons of our client protection. But what we did with this client is came in, we met them. It was a burdened HR department. So one HR, one person heading HR for about 150 employees. And again, we talked about earlier in the show, this person was tasked with everything from the recruiting nature of HR to running some analytics about how certain positions were performing and kind of spreading the marketing word of retaining talent for this company, in addition to handling some of the 401k duties and also the benefit duties as well. So we went through a mock scenario with them and asked, if we walked in today as part of the DOL, and really the Employee Benefits Security Administration, and said, we are going to audit your plan, where would that leave you? There were some gaps. This company did not have an SPD wrap document with all their plans, so we ended up putting that together for them. Also, as a service to our clients, we draft a lot of the sample documents, so it might be a sample COBRA notice and some of the other things that you have to provide for the compliant nature of these plans. So we have all those on file, and we create them as needed for a group. So for this group specifically, we put a lot of this stuff in place. Ask them, you know, here's what typically happens. You're going to get an initial letter or an email. What do you need to do? Once they get that letter, we went through a drill of, all right, give us all the documents you have. And again, I would stress, if this actually is taking place, make copies of the documents. It's important to provide the copies, have the originals for yourself, keep a record of the correspondence going back and forth so you have that ongoing. And then what we have internally here, in addition to auditing a lot of this stuff and helping prepare for it, we also have an employee portal so you can host a lot of this stuff online. So what we typically find, even as companies that have over 100 employees, sometimes technology in this space is lagging a little bit. Either they work with a payroll company that doesn't have capability to do that, or they've worked with a previous consultant that hasn't done that. So we really invest in a lot of technology to be able to host a lot of these things, create the sample documents, and have provided a great resource network of outside partners that can also help with this too. I think that's important. We're smart enough to know what we don't know and where our skill set needs to be enhanced. So we do work with a great resource with accountants and ERISA attorneys as well. So in taking this company through, we pulled in one of the accountant firms we worked with as well, had them give a second eye on the situation, and really went through everything from having a teleconference with this accountant, looking at the documents, and then giving them some advice on where they could improve. And the audit hasn't actually happened yet, but if they do, the accounting firm has basically said you're in a very good spot, and that's why this company chooses to work with us as well.
Well, I think that shows a great partnership, right, between not only the organization and yourselves, but a third-party accounting firm, making sure that everything is put in place, everything is right, everything is 100% ready for them. And that is peace of mind for an organization. That is peace of mind for a company that may be It may not have the staffing necessary because of obviously the nature of whatever they do. And, you know, this is a really a great service, if I think about it, in terms of really helping them get it right. And then once it's right, maintaining it in the right spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also helps a company confidently build out their benefit program as well. Part of this process is groups want to add on new services and benefits and with wellness. And now the DOL used to just audit in certain areas. Now, obviously, with ACA, there's a lot of DOL compliance that happens there, whether your plan is grandfathered or non-grandfathered in certain aspects. So we really walk companies through that. And basically for the audience that may not know what a grandfathered plan is, it's basically a group health plan that existed on or before March 23rd, 2010. That was the official date the ACA was enacted. And hadn't had certain changes made to it. There's other things that come along to that, but we can get further into it if we were to meet with a client on what a grandfathered plan is and then what a non-grandfathered plan is. A non-grandfathered plan, there's additional mandates with the ACA that have to be implemented to make that plan compliant on an ongoing basis. So the DOL will start looking for that as well.
You know, you mentioned it in your story, and you've mentioned a couple times the words fiduciary responsibilities. Could you define what that is and what may be some areas that companies have to look at from that perspective?
Yeah. Being a plan fiduciary, you have certain responsibilities to make sure the plan's compliant and make sure everything is in line. And that encompasses anyone that's really working on the plan. So a lot of times companies don't want to be burdened with a fiduciary responsibility. Sometimes it falls under a financial advisor. With us, it could fall under certain aspects we're doing on the plan. But the fiduciary, again, when you start talking levying silver rule fines and things that can add up to these fees, that's where the fiduciary really comes into play. So making sure they have eyes on the plan, making sure things are running correctly, and they become in the crosshairs. If an employee is to make a complaint on the plan or say something was done incorrectly, that's when you run into some problems with fiduciary responsibility. And that's also how we help companies having some of these sample documents and working with outside partners to make sure the documents we're providing fall in line. So you have, again, a good story to tell and you fall in the line of being compliant as a fiduciary of the plan.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. You know, I guess as we conclude the interview here today, tell me a couple of things that you said to yourself, this is the reason an organization would come to us. What is it that you do outside of the fact that you certainly have this great tool? What are some of the reasons that someone would come to your organization and really, you know, this is why we're here?
Absolutely. Well, to start, you know, first and foremost, selfishly, I think I come at companies from a variety of angles. So having been in the health and welfare industry and running the practice here at Tour Ferraris, I have a unique set of goals and kind of a unique set of experiences that lead me to be a company's consultant. Although I've been in the health and welfare business my entire career, that not only spans being an employee benefit consultant, but also having worked on founding teams of a couple health and wellness companies. So within those duties, not only have I been the person who's going in and sitting as a consultant, looking at all the stuff, not only with the audit, yearly renewals, and everything on that nature from a benefit standpoint, I've actually lived and breathed it, wearing an HR hat, trying to determine how much we're going to contribute for each employee, putting structure to a wellness program, not only at my own company and others. And I think that's a unique value add. I talked to so many brokers who were fearful of ACA because they've done something the same way for, in some cases, 40 years. This business has become exciting to me again because I can really get in. It comes back to, you know, and I made the joke about dreaming about going into insurance, but, you know, that dream was to help companies. And I feel like for one of the first times in a long time, there's so much area you can help a company. And that's why I think we really live and breathe being a steward of insurance, but also having the passion to go in and help companies and really just have open and honest conversation about where their benefits are, where do they want to go to, how do they expect to attract and retain talent? And again, my story is kind of unique because I've kind of come at it from various angles, both being a business owner and now running a practice here for a very established firm, working in the Northeast and meeting a very great mix of clients.
No, that's great. Well, today we've been talking with Sean Gagnon at Tour and Ferris Insurance Group. I appreciate you very much being on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate the time. And any follow-up, I'm happy to provide to those listeners that need some help in this area.
And after the show, you can go to the HR Power Hour website where you will find Sean's information and a link directly to his organization and contact. You are listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
On to round three. If a train leaves Spokane...
Schenectady by Saturday.
Correct. March comes before May. What's in my left pocket?
Half a mint and a rusty switchblade.
Correct.
Bam.
Who lets you watch TV episodes and movies instantly over the internet?
Ha-ha! Netflix!
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
That is rad!
I know. Can you put me down now?
Sorry.
I'm a hugger.
I want to introduce you today to a new HR Power Hour sponsor. It's the AARP. They, of course, are a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization with a membership of, yes, more than 37 million people. Here in Maine, there are over 230,000 members, and their office is located right here in Portland, Maine. Their work spans the entire state, and they are a trusted source for lifestyle tips, news, and educational information, AARP products, and certainly the AARP magazine. AARP is a great organization. They help people turn their goals and dreams into real possibilities. They strengthen communities and fight for the issues that matter most to families such as healthcare, employment security, and retirement planning. So I want to thank the AARP as a new member of the HR Power Hour sponsor family. So for more information about the AARP in Maine, go to www.aarp.org/ME.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today we're going to be talking with Sherry Welsh. She is the president and founder of Blue Sky Transformations. Sherry, thanks for being on the show.
Hi, David. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. Well, you know, obviously this is going to be an interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about the core energy coaching approach, and this centers around thoughts, emotions, and actions. That's quite a mouthful, I might add.
It is.
So let's start with some basics, okay? Let's start with what is the core energy coaching approach?
Well, the approach looks at how you manage your energy, how you handle showing up in engagements, your actions and reactions to certain situations or people or words that may cause triggers to pop up based on your stories and history that you have. So what it does is look at, okay, let's identify what those stories are. What are those triggers? What are those hot buttons that are getting pushed that take you into actions that are conflict-driven or maybe even withdrawal, victim-type energy that we talk about? And then how you can shift those actions, those thoughts that lead to certain emotions and then resulting behaviors and actions into a more productive, constructive state.
So why don't we give an example right up front about somebody who may need something like this so that the listening audience can understand exactly what type of things you're talking about.
Sure. So if you have an employee in your organization who is very often caught saying, you know, that's not my job. No one gives me support. I can't get anything done around here. That is a very classic, what we call level one victim energy thought process. And it comes from, you know, them feeling helpless, them feeling they don't have enough to get their job done or enough to make a difference in their role. So what we do is help that individual, and we do a lot of teamwork as well, because a lot of teams feel like they can't make progress. But we'll focus on the individual for now. And when you have that individual who really feels helpless, what we do is coach them around, okay, where are those thoughts coming from? You know, how true is it that no one supports you? You know, let's talk about your typical day here and what happens and what you need in order to get your job done. And as you coach them through and they start to, you know, realize and discover that it's their own barriers that are in their way, it's their own thoughts about people not being there or the resources not being there to support them, what it does is release the hold that has on them so that they can then start to take action. They can start to move forward and take responsibility for what job they have to do there and what job they want to do and what their strengths are to contribute to the overall success of the company. So that's a classical situation where you hear a colleague or you hear someone on the team feeling stuck, feeling like they are helpless. And it's a matter of helping them, that individual, shift out of that mentality and that mindset and take action to do their job and do it well.
How much is this about the environment they're in or the situation that they have or find themselves in versus maybe external factors such as things going on at home, things about their life that are going on, or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, it is. It's a combination of all of that. So what we talk about is there's six dynamic influences on your energy. And we all have energy. Energy's all around us. And so what happens is when you look at, you know, what influences your energy, the six dynamic influences are your emotional state. So what is, you know, what thoughts are in your head that are causing a certain emotional reaction, what your mental state is, how sharp you are, how well educated you are, what other thoughts are in your mental capacity, your physical state, how well you feel, how much rest you're getting, whether you're exercising, you know, how healthy you are, your spiritual state, how connected you are in faith, and then social factors. You know, what others are saying that someone around you may remind you of either a sibling or someone from your past that you had a very difficult relationship with, and your environmental, which is then your work environment or the outside, you know, situation in the economy or other aspects of your life. So all of those have an influence. And then it's a matter of breaking it down for the individual to say, okay, you know, and you have control over all of them on how they affect you. You don't necessarily have control on what someone else is going to say, but you do have control over how you respond to that and how you react to that, what that person says. So what we do is really look at, you know, the different factors that are influencing that person to feel helpless. And is it, you know, is it in their own thoughts, their own limiting beliefs that they've created, which we call inner energy blocks? There's four of them. Or is it an outer energy block, which is more environmental or social or somebody else saying something that triggers them to feel helpless? But again, the responsibility on how to act once that trigger or that hot button is pushed is up to that individual. And that's what we help them realize and basically feel empowered enough to take ownership of and do something about it.
No, I think that's true. I think it's important for people to understand there's choices, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's choice in terms of what they're really looking to get out of this and whether they want to stay in the state they're in or whether they want to move forward and make the changes that are necessary out there. So when you're working with an organization, you're working with a company, and they say, look, we have this individual who's in this situation who's kind of like that, but they're not really that open to going down the path of correction. How do you try to how do you advise them on how to handle that type of situation to move them in the right direction?
That's a great, great question as well, because that does happen all the time. And there's two, thought processes around coaching. One is, you know, the coach is going to come in and fix the person to be the way we want them to be and to conform to the way we want them to conform, whether it's a cultural expectation that everyone in the organization, you know, acts this way and is aligned with the values we have in our organization. And if they don't, then we need them to get fixed. And the other approach is really that a coach comes in to help the individual to be their best, to actually bring them to their optimal level, whether it's, you know, aligned with or not to what the overall organization is looking for. So with that, you know, what we say in coaching is, you know, therapy, the different modalities, therapy is to help people go from dysfunctional to functional. Coaching is help individuals go from functional to optimal, and teams and organizations. So with that, when they bring me in to help with it, let's call that a problem employee or a challenging employee. What I would like to do first with them is first understand, okay, what expectations are of this individual that are not being met? And let's look at those and then talk to the individual, you know, really listen. And that's something in coaching we learn to do very well is listen deeply for what's behind the barriers, what's really going on with them, and what's the story they're telling themselves that's not letting them be successful in their role. And honestly, in all the work that I've done with different clients, both, you know, leaders of organizations and sales teams specifically, which is one of my specialties, as well as teams as a whole, is getting to the root of what's going on and the core of, okay, really, what's the truth here? And once we uncover that, it's like a veil is lifted for them. And then they can start to really, you know, identify with what their strengths are and use them instead of harp on how helpless they are or how blaming everyone else is for their lack of performance. So it's a matter of shifting their perspective on, you know, how much they're in control of the situation versus how someone else is to blame. And once you do that, once you kind of remove the excuses from the individual, they feel lighter, they feel better about themselves, and they come to the realization whether this is the right place for me or not. Because it could be that they don't really want to be there. And one of the reasons they're not performing is they're kind of hoping that you'll do the hard job for them and get rid of them, instead of them choosing to leave on their own and find the right fit.
We're talking with Sherry Welch. She is the founder and president of Blue Sky Transformations. You know, you've been talking here a little bit about an individual, right? So an individual who you're working with and you're helping through the process and getting them to see and understand, right? And there's a breakthrough at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you're really talking about this in a group setting, how does that change the dynamics of it?
Right. Well, what we do, and actually I really enjoy working with teams the most because I've been a part of international sales teams for many years, global organizations. And what I see happen in team dynamics is there's a lot of assumptions that get made, a lot of interpretations that are made that people, you know, put thoughts in their heads about what the other person is thinking or where they're coming from or what the other person is going to do. And so in a team structure, one is assuming somebody else is going to take care of it and vice versa, right? So what happens is then the team becomes stagnant. And they're not meeting their objectives. They're not meeting the goals that are set. The goals are very clear. You know, most organizations do a very good job of goal setting and identifying what's expected of that team. Where it breaks down and what we help with is really, okay, where is the breakdown? What's in the way? And how do you take the steps to move past it? And with that, each of the team members goes through an energy index profile assessment that we have that really shows them, it's kind of a mirror in their face to show them their own energy profile and where their default tendencies are, whether it's a conflict-driven default or a victim, you know, withdrawal default. And depending on which default you have, that's what you got to be aware of, that when someone pushes one of those hot buttons, you're either going to withdraw or you're going to fight. And in team dynamics, once each team member understands what the others are and they talk about them, and we also do a values assessment. I know you've had other participants on your show, which is fantastic. I've listened to them on the values-centered leadership approach. You know, values assessments are very important as well, where once you understand others' values on the team, you can see what's important to them. So if someone has, for example, the value of family, and the team has to travel quite a bit or work late, you know, into the night, and that person is in conflict because they can't get home to their family and they feel disconnected from their family, then that team member isn't going to want to function very well, and they're not going to want to participate actively, and they really don't want to be there. So understanding that, you can then proactively make some decisions on, okay, what do we do about this? And so that the person that could potentially get into conflict feels that they have a choice. And honestly, 9 times out of 10, they're more than happy to participate and stay late, because then they make arrangements for the family and feel good about it.
No, you're absolutely correct. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group. Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
We've all been there, at the end of the line, frightened, confused, crying out for the smallest human kindness, when finally there's a voice.
Next!
Most people would tell you that these visits to the Department of Motor Vehicles are the most hazardous times in a driver's life. But they're wrong. Dead wrong. Because the fact is, pollution caused by fuel exhaust is reaching dangerous levels. Right about now, you're probably wondering, what can I do? Plenty, my friend, plenty. Next time you're buying a car, choose one with the best gas mileage that meets your needs and fits your budget. Knowing that you're helping to keep our air cleaner and reducing our country's dependence on oil should slow your weeping the next time you're called in to renew your driver's license. For information on how to find a fuel-efficient car that's kinder to the planet and right for you, and for other easy tips on how to protect our world, log on to getgreen.com. It's easy to do, and you'll learn to save money on gas. Now, that's enough to make you smile.
Next!
If only for a moment. That's getgreen.com. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are talking with the one, the only, Sherry Welch, who is the president and founder of Blue Sky Transformations. How do you like that intro? That's pretty good, huh?
That's terrific. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. Well, we're talking about the core energy coaching approach centered around thoughts, emotions, and actions. And I think during the first segment there, I think you did a great job of really talking about what it is and how we move from where we are, taking the individual accountability ourselves and moving it forward, and how an organization can help that around. And you talked a little bit about the value proposition in the last segment and about how people have to relate to what they're doing and really want to engage in what that is. One of the other parts that is so critical and so important in this area has to do with the communication skills to be able to build that trust and inspire others to move forward, especially by a supervisor, by a manager, or an HR professional, or a business leader. Tie this all together now. Kind of bring this all together in this segment in terms of understanding how those two things work together hand in hand.
Okay. Well, when we talk about communication skills, many people, you know, it's a very broad term. So many people want to, you know, identify that as a big gap area, that a place where organizations need some help or individuals need some help. And what we look at with teams and individuals and companies is, you know, okay, where is the communication breaking down? And where are assumptions being made? And what when someone is talking, is everyone actively engaged and really actively listening to what they're saying? When we are able to coach the entire team on the core energy concepts, and the getting awareness of the different levels of energy and where someone may be telling themselves a story, you can hold each other accountable within the group and the team to say, okay, it sounds like that's an assumption you're making. It sounds like that's a limiting belief. And it all comes to the types of words that are being used. So when someone is saying, I choose to do this, that's an empowering statement. And that means they're choosing to step into their role. They're choosing to communicate to you what they're going to take on. When they say, I have to or I need to, then that's a more less empowering, a more defeated type of terminology to use. And when you hear a teammate or a colleague saying that, that's when you want to step in and call them on it and say, hey, you know, what's going on? It sounds like that's not something you really want to do. So what that means then, as far as, you know, stepping into your role and owning your role and lining it up to your values, you really want to find the activities and the steps that you're taking that are aligned with your core values that then let things flow. And then communicate that with your colleagues. Open up and talk about it. Open up to your boss. If your boss is telling you something that isn't clear or your boss is pushing a hot button, you know, let the boss know, obviously professionally and you know, adult-like, maturely. But let your boss know, hey, you know, this is what I heard you just say. And what that means is the communication, the dialogue starts to take place where you can then really get some of those barriers that we talked about earlier out of the way, some of those, you know, thoughts that you put in your head about what your boss is thinking. You get that out of the way. You get it on the table so that you can move forward together and achieve the goals you want to achieve and really feel good in your career and the role you're playing in that company.
No, I think that's critical, right, in terms of really making that all work together. When an organization has a challenge in terms of overall communication, whether it be a supervisor or dynamics to that, talk about the ways that a supervisor can be taught in these areas, because traditional communication training may not be specific enough. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
What the skills that we help leaders learn, let's say, and we're all leaders, it's just how well are we leading. But what the skills that we teach in teams and leadership organizations is how to, first of all, ask open-ended questions, clarifying and empowering questions, meaning how, what, where, when questions. We try to encourage them to stay away from why, because why can be a little bit judgmental and put the employee on the defensive. But when you learn how to ask very empowering, you know, strong questions, you get more from the employee than just yes or no. And you get more dialogue coming. And then you start to really listen to what they're telling you, and you can hear what really is going on and what's causing them to not step up and do what they're expected to do. So we work quite a bit on the types of questions. We also do exercises on understanding the different levels of energy and how to recognize when someone is withdrawing and pulling back and digging in their heels versus opening up to the possibility and the creative aspect that they have in them. The other is we spend a lot of time on acknowledging and validating how a person's feeling. So you really, as the boss, want to acknowledge and validate when your employee is telling you that, you know, something's not working. And you want to let them know it's okay for them to be frustrated. You know, it's understandable that, you know, they're not happy where they are or what's going on, depending on what the situation is. And once the employee feels heard, then they let go of that negativity. They let go of that negative emotion. And then they're open to hear, okay, what's the solution for this? How can we move forward? How can we open up and make things happen now? So it's really, you know, getting them entrenched, getting them, you know, unstuck, and that's acknowledge and validate. It's a very strong skill that we teach.
No, that's great. That's great. When you're thinking about tips that you can provide to employers as we move into the last couple minutes here, what are some tips that you could say these are key areas where employers can think about this topic and say, yes, this is why we're going to need help today?
Well, typically when you have a specific team that is having conflict, you know, that they're coming to the HR organization and constantly complaining that some of their team members or an individual on the team is really dragging them down and holding them back, that's what you want to listen for. And when that happens, that's when you want to bring in, you know, some experts, whether it's our coaching or other coaches, to help, you know, get clarity behind what's going on. The other is when you have an individual who is a high performer, right, and you want them to stay engaged and motivated and inspired to be a part of that organization, because you don't want them to leave. You want to keep the talent, the good talent that you have. That's another time when you want to look at, okay, let's ensure that we're doing everything we can to keep all the people, you know, engaged with what they're doing. A lot of times companies do employee engagement surveys. And based on those results, you know, it's a time to bring in coaching to say, okay, let's look at what's causing the organization to not have the kind of engagement levels we'd like them to have.
No, that's great. You know, I got to tell you, this has been an interesting topic in terms of understanding what this whole model is all about. And I appreciate you taking the time today to really, you know, go through it, give some great examples. And, you know, I think that if interested, what they should do is go to the HR Power Hour website after this show, of course, and your information is going to be there. Obviously, the audio of this show will be on there, and they can connect with you directly. So I want to thank you very much for being on the show today.
Great. Thank you, David. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. There are five sins of well-meaning supervisors, and this is on trendhr.com. Sin number one, making unlawful pre-employment inquiries. Example, do you have any children, or will you have any daycare problems? Sin number two, delivering dishonest evaluations. I'm going to give you a satisfactory rating, and I think we both know that means you should be looking for a job. Sin number three, too vague in discipline and performance write-ups. Sally, your work could use improvement. I'm making a note here that we'll be talking about your performance later. Sin number four, making rash disciplinary decisions. That's it, I've had it, you're fired! Sin number five, not realizing the, quote, power, unquote, of the supervisor. So let's go out for a drink after work, then maybe we'll grab dinner. That okay? These are very, very important sins of well-meaning supervisors. So don't do them. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.